Blog Talk Radio.
Radio, part of All Poetry, one of the world's largest poetry websites in the great world. Inside of that is Kimo Voices, which I am a part of, the wonderful group of poets who love to write, discuss, and just have a great fun with the written word. Tonight, on Sweet Discussions, we're going to talk about all things cow and word banks, as in whole. Holy cow, Batman, that's a word bank. I've got a lot of people that took that challenge. I'm very excited about that. But first, let's talk about the Blues Brothers and Rawhide. Some of really great facts with that movie. I'm just going to go into the facts about that. The Blues Brothers facts I thought were really funny. Just to talk about the Blues Brothers, Dan Aykroyd and John Belushi from Saturday Night Live. First off, Jake and Elwood are the Blues Brothers. They have no shortage of fans. As we all know, this classic comic actually is almost 40 years old. But some of the facts are Dan Aykroyd actually saved Carrie Fisher's life, then actually popped the questions for him to marry her. They became a hit after their movie, but... Sadly, the couple did split up before they ever made it to the altar. So the great Princess Leia and the amazing Bruce Brothers never did get married. The movie wasn't an instant hit, so they didn't like come out and boom, make it right off the hit, but it has become a cult classic. They also felt a lot of critics said that it was a black movie that whites would not watch, jokes on them, because the movie eventually did gross $115 million. One of the other really things that a lot of people don't know, that Paul Schaefer was kicked out of the Blues Brothers band for treason. Actually, John Belushi kicked him off because he found out that Mr. Schaefer was working on something for Gilda Radner's Gilda Live, and Belushi called him disloyal and wrote him a note and said he would never, ever be a Blues Brother for disloyalty, because once you work for John Belushi, you stay true and loyal to him and we're not allowed to work on other projects. One of the other amazing facts about the prison scene in the movie, which I thought was really interesting that I did not know until I started looking into this, is that when Jake is actually released from prison at the start of the movie as he's coming out, the helicopter crew was above the prison filming the scene below, and the prison guards actually opened fire on the chopper, thinking it was an escaped attempt. It was kind of pretty interesting to imagine being the film crew above that. And there are several cameos. So just so you know, there's a lot of fun with that movie if you ever want to dive into the facts about John Belushi and Dan Aykroyd. The other thing that holds that song very special to my heart is my two sons were also entertainers through their junior high and high school years as the Blues Brothers, and they sang Rawhide quite a few times on stage throughout the Denver metro area, and they were fabulous as the Blues Brothers, doing quite a few of their songs and dances and everything like that. So I have quite a few pictures of my kids as the Blues Brothers and won quite a few talent shows as that. So I hope the Blues Brothers are very special in my heart, and especially Rawhide, that was one of my favorite songs. So welcome to Blog Talk, everybody. I've got quite a few people already on the line here tonight. I've got Rack and Taurus. Everybody say hi to Rack.
Hello, hello.
Hey, Rack.
Say hi, Rack.
Hey, Rack.
How you doing tonight? Okay, Rack can say hi to himself. I also have my right hand, the girl that helps me do everything tonight. Otherwise, I'd be lost and wandering, which is Pretty Bird. Say hi, Pretty Bird.
Hello, hello.
All right, and then I have Dave joining us. How you doing, David? How are you?
Oh, I'm pretty good. Not too bad. Can't complain. Actually, all them dogs are just about the same.
I'm so glad you came tonight. I sent you that message just hoping, because I was like, oh, he's got to be so good at this. I just knew that it would be fun. Oh. And then, of course, the man I woke up this morning, which I did not mean to do, but he's so prompt and he's always just right there, Mr. A.P. Taylor out of Australia. Hello, sir. How are you tonight?
Hi. Wait, how are you?
I'm good. I apologize for waking you up, but as I sent him a secret message, and within minutes, he just, as usual, AP just answers me back and has the first stanza written in seconds, and I was just, again, appalled. No, I was not appalled. I was adoring, and it was wonderful. And then, of course, last night, at least so far in my lane, I have Wayne. Good evening, Wayne. How are you tonight?
Fine. I'm doing fine.
Good. And I'm so sorry I said this last minute to you.
I'll be running around all day. They work my butt off. I'm ready to sit down, have me a cold beer, and party.
All right. Party with the cow licks and the cowbells and stay out of cow pies. How's that?
Slap mother.
Good. Yes, slap your mother. What did everybody think of that insane cow? Cow bank. The cow. Cowabunga cow bank. I couldn't believe I thought any words started with cow.
It was fun.
Why not?
Good.
Yeah.
I like that. You know?
Yes. So, anybody got to read, run, AP? Are you good? Are you got to get out of here? You got to rule the world with meetings and mass demonstrations about...
I've got to go reasonably quickly. I've got the sound that I've got. But it's not actually for me this time. But I was going to say my favorite scene in Blues Brothers suite is when Carrie Fisher grabs the M202 flamethrower and tries to take a out car out. I think it's brilliant.
I love the Blues Brothers movie. I think that's hilarious.
The first time I heard them, Nuns Penguin.
Oh, I like it when they're like in their car and they're like,
yes,
they've just got to go. It's like, let's hit it. I just love the scenes they have in their car, the conversations they're always going back and forth on. I think the car scenes and the conversations are probably all my favorites. It's just, they're always so deep in, you know, the life and death situations and what they're talking about in their car. So I love the conversationalists they are. Pretty Bird, what were your thoughts on the cow, the overall essence of the cow?
I was amused at a lot of these words, actually, because I hadn't actually thought of them as compound words. And so I was like, ooh. That's my something for today to have learned. And so I just actually finished my poem and put it on the topic board because I actually wrote cows, if you can imagine.
Well done, you.
And, of course, Pre-Bird has a special word in a poem she cannot use. But I would just tell you, if you're ever going to use a list of words, please make sure you double-check before you copy and paste. because we had some fun with a little word that involves beast-like fun things. But anyway, as we move on, let's go ahead and put up AP's poem because I think
he's
we can get started on. Oh, he is on the board. He hasn't gotten to the board yet. And there's Peter, just boom, right we go.
Oh, no, that was AP. All
right,
he was quick.
Yeah.
Okay.
Let us go.
Well, started this at 3 o'clock in the morning, and then came back. Now I'm sure Wayne's going to beat me, but this has got 23 cow starting words in 101, so it's not too bad. But I know not good enough to beat Wayne. But this is cows, and the cow hides alike, and it goes a little bit like this. I believe cow punches are on the horns of cowardliness, their dilemma being to kowtow to the cow flesh at hand. As cow licked at stake, raw cow hides burnt out by duress, and both co-workers and co-writers medium, rare, do ban. Cow punching, the psychologists say, leads to cowardesque, a rare ailment affecting cowgirls as well as cowboys. Meet cow yards with cow pats away from a desk. Cow pies tossed, cowabunga, as frisbees like toys. Cowhands fall on their co-walkers for assistance. The great co-washed and cow-sharks herded into runs. Mind the cows and the cowlings by happenstance. Let's sing a healing anthem together. Cows with guns. End poem.
Oh, I think this is hilarious. Oh, cow punching psychologists say let's leave the cowardice. Oh. So I gotta just say the second stanza really just brings me to a memory. Meet a cow yard with cow pats away from the desk. Cow patties pause, cowabunga, like Frisbee's just toys. So my grandmother was the grand poobah of the female side of the Elks Club. And they one year went to Texas, and she entered a cow pie tossing event.
No.
And she ended up, actually there's an actual cow pie tossing event where they actually literally throw cow dung across the field. And she actually won the event. So I have a picture of her in the field with the cow pies, and she's got a little trophy. So I think this is really funny to me because my grandma actually did this through the cow pies away from her desk, like a little frisbee.
Wow.
So if you didn't think this actually happened, AP, this actually does happen here in our country where they send people to throw cowboys like frisbee.
That is remarkable. I've never got that. How's that? Wow.
Sweetie tosses cow pies and her dog fetched them. So
there are actual cow pie throwing contests, and I thought that was great that you wrote about that. And I love that seeing us kneeling hands and together cows with guns. Beautiful poetry you've written here tonight. Pretty Bird, your thoughts, my love.
Oh, I love this. First of all, cows with guns. How can you not just smile with that? Excellent little picture, by the way. But that first stanza, I love what you did with medium rare because you're brilliant. And I love the whole idea of how you open this because, you know, I believe cowpunchers are on the horns of cowardliness. Their dilemma being to kowtow to the cowflesh at hand because, you know, while they're supposed to be doing the herding, you know, sometimes all them animals have a mind of their own. Obviously, you know, watch your guns. But I absolutely love this. It cracks me up. It's brilliant. Just brilliant. But I really do love that whole with the co-writers, medium rare, do band. That was just brilliant.
Thank you. Pretty good.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. And David, your thoughts, please.
Well, I really liked this. I thought it was funny. It made me smile. I was impressed by the way AP used all of those cow words in this poem. Did a lot better on it than I did, but it was funny and it was clever, very clever. And I don't know, I like the last stanza a lot. Cowhands fall on their co-workers, cow walkers, oh, there we go, for their assistance, the great cow whoosh and cow shark herded into runs, mind the cows and the cowling by happenstance. Let's sing a healing anthem together, cows with guns. That's great. You'd almost put that into a song, I think. Well done, AP. That's fun.
And Wayne, your thoughts?
Yes.
Uh-oh.
Wayne?
Can't hear you,
Wayne.
Wayne.
We lost you, Wayne.
Wayne, I lost you. Come back. Well, until he does, right?
Shit. Can you hear me?
Oh, there he is.
Now
we can.
Okay.
Yeah.
I bet if he caught a lot of heifers in his day, he's a cowboy, I'll tell you. And, all I can think of was saying this is, wow, pal, how now, brown cow? Where's your cow? And,
thank you, Wayne.
I was before 18 minutes before the show started, so mine's not very good. So you did a great job with AP. I appreciate it.
Well, we'll say. Thank you, Wayne.
Uh-oh. And Rocking Tour.
Wonderful mastery of the English language. I really appreciate this for all those reasons. You know, from beginning to end, you know how I love puns and things like that. So this was absolutely stunning for me. Although I have to say, cows with guns, wouldn't that be the horse union, the Colts? Otherwise, that's, you know, I wouldn't call it a contradiction. It's just an observation. This is great. You know, I could see the, you know, on the road with the cows. It's really beautiful Western story.
Thank you. Thanks, Ryan.
Awesome. If you're not sure if you're going to stick around, but the next one I'm going to throw up there is Mr. Gerald.
Oh, Gerald. No, I'm going to skip, speak, but thank you. Wonderful cow poem, and obviously brought a whole heap of people together to meet, which is the whole point of these things. So, see you away.
Thank you.
Okay. Thanks. Talk soon. Bye, everybody.
Have a wonderful day. Night. Bye.
Thank you.
See you, AP.
Later, AP.
Here
get
comes
along,
Mr. Gerald.
Cow Country, written in red by Gerald Green. The cowardice from Cowabunga. Cowed the coward cowboy to greater extremes of cowardliness. Refusing to sit upon the cowcatcher of the Cowabunga locomotive and ring the cowbell through the tiny tunnel. All cowpunchers know the importance of ringing the cowbell on the Cowabunga, so acting in a cowardesque manner disgusts all cowardesses from Cowabunga, including cowgirls from Cowabunga, who soften their cowgirl boots with cream. When the cowbirds come back to Campabunga, is the day cow chips form from cow pie. It's when cowhands cross cow paths as comrades, and cowards compose on cow hides with courageous co-writers making cowbellists cower in fear. End poem.
This is fabulous. Cowabungas. The cowardice in the Cowabunga code, the coward cowboy, to greater extremes of cowardliness. Refusing to sit upon the cowcatcher of the Cowabunga locomotive. I just find these alliterations just fabulous. And I love when the cowbirds come back to Campabunga is the day cow chips from the cow pie. The day cow chips from the cow pie. First off, I can't even say these words as well as he read them, but I love making cowbellas cower in fear. I think he did a beautiful job. It made me giggle. I like, cowgirls soften their boots with cream. Even at his own extra alliterations there. I had a lot of fun with these words, and I don't want to go to Cowabunga because I'm not really sure what the cowbellists are going to do, or I might be a cowbellist and I'm not sure. But I do like courageous co-writers. Gerald, this is hilarious to me, and I want to just make sure you know that I appreciate what you do. just brilliant. Pretty Bird, your thoughts.
My thoughts, yes. Let me get back to paying attention to what the heck I'm doing because, dog. He always does tell a wonderful story, and he's got that voice that's kind of smooth, kind of pulls you along. And he used a lot of cow words, and I love that he added the alliteration that outside is just the cow words because, it's a cow-filled night, so, a little extra splash of color ain't going to hurt nothing. And so I really appreciate that. I appreciated that, but I love the story, the opening to begin with, the cowardice from Cowabunga, cow to the coward cowboy to greater extremes of cowardliness. I was like, that's some fearfulness right there. So you kind of got to love the way he kind of frolics down to, making the cowboyists cower in fear. So I always enjoy the way he writes.
Yes, and David.
Oh, this was funny. This was really funny, I thought. I loved how he used all of those words in the alliteration that he did with it. discussed all cowardice from Cowabunga, including cowgirls from Cowabunga who soften their cowgirl boots with cream. I don't know. There's not any one particular stanza that stands out. They're all good. They're all funny. It's typically concise just the way Gerald writes, and he's always interesting in how he does things. And so this is a shining example of how he writes. I think this is great. It's funny as devil, too. good job, Gerald.
Absolutely. Everybody say hello to Sky.
Hi, Sky.
Hello.
Hi, Sky. How are you, Sky?
I'm good. How are you?
We're good. I'm getting comments from Mr. Gerald Green.
What'd you think, Wei Wei?
No, I didn't hear it. But I do love Gerald Green.
I know.
So I bet it was brilliant.
It was brilliant. Wayne, your thoughts?
My thoughts are, I think he may use the most cowish words in his poem, and don't ask me cow, but he did. This poem is probably a little cow tongue-tied. And, I think his poem's flowing a lot of bull, but in a good way. Great job here. I'm enjoying it a lot. Great job.
All right. And Rock and Tour.
Yeah, I love the alliteration. You know, if you're going to repeat words, it's makes your job a little easier, I think. And he told a lovely story to the point that he made me wonder, because I know there was like a Chattanooga line, and I almost want to say there might have been a cowabunga line. So, you know, I wonder what I know Bart Simpson used to say cowabunga. It might have been something Chamberlain and the cow catcher, you know, and he likened that to the train as well. But, he really scratched my brain with that one, just putting it in that context, because, you know, however many times I've heard Bart say it, I never thought of it in terms of the train, but, you know, it might have been. So, you know, that he could tell a story in that way and lead someone to believe something like that is a testament to his ability. Great storytelling, Gerald.
And the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles came up with cowabunga, if anybody wants to know. And... did you bring me anything, Sky? Because I know you can only be here for a little bit.
I can stay for a longer today, but I did bring you something.
Okay.
That I can hang out for a little bit. I have tomorrow off, and then I'm going camping for a week, so I have some time.
Oh, cool. Good. So you can have fun with us in our kick cow time.
Okay.
Awesome. I'm very excited about that. All right, and for the cow-tipping dark mother, we're going to go with Dave next.
Okay, you are on the board, Dave.
Oh, sorry, I was on mute. I got this request from Pam, and she wanted to know whether the Dark Mother liked beef or not. So, of course, I had to find out. And so this is called Where's the Beef? And it sounds like this. I am an old space cowboy, one of the Dark Mother's toys, but I think she loves me just the same. She loves my starved cow-punching game. Were you going to read this with me, Pam?
If you want me to, I didn't know you wanted me to. Did you send me a message?
Yeah, I sent the message. Stuff's in bold italics. It's okay.
Start over, please. Please start over. Yes,
okay. I am an old space cowboy, one of the Dark Mother's toys, but I think she loves me just the same. She loves my star cow punching game.
Am I your cowgirl, David Williams?
She asks. Her sexy sub-offbeat questions take me to task.
My man, please tell me, I say. Cowboys and Indians, we must play.
I took my queen to McDonald's one day. A taste of beef, her idea anyway. She scared the hell out of everyone there. Her sardonic smile and hydrogen alpha stare. Her dark matter skin, translucent glow, photons racing in her sexual undertow, purple vapor forming around her, my beautiful queen, you so astound. Mommy, what's wrong with that woman over there? Why do I hear that strange song everywhere? A little girl's question to her petrified mother.
Little one, don't be afraid of me, please.
her dark mane flowing back in some solar breeze. My dark queen smiled at her mother, reaching to touch her one after another in those times that are and those that were. Dark mother soothing introspection from her touch to her. I saw tears from the little girl's mother, those tears from the death of her big brother. She became weak in the knees, her balance running off to flee, caught on the cowcatchers of the dark mother's loco. Her cosmic touch dispatches all of her dark mojo. All of the patrons of McDonald's ran screaming into the night, save for the cardboard Ronald and the mother's new insight. The workers behind the counter were frightened. Who knew? They handed me a quarter pounder with cheese, too. So it was that I had hand-fed the dark mother morsels of her hamburger one after another. I kissed the special sauce from her lips.
We should do this more often, she quipped.
She giggled. McDonald's shook in gravitational waves. The dark mother's a cowgirl in the way she behaves. Always tells me what's on her mind. I never have to guess how she's inclined. She loves the physical shades of me. Thrills her to no end, I can see. I love her when she shakes from sexual energy. It's the cowgirl in her methinks set free. Cowgirl butts drive me nuts, her rolling a synchronous ocean. I love her dark, mysterious notions and what she has me do to her in those times that are and were.
I like that quarter pounder. I like that quarter pounder with cheese feeding me like you do. Feeding me like you do does to me, please. So sensual that you are, my man. To be loved by you makes me understand what it is to be a human female, for I am not your femme fatale. For am I not your femme fatale, David Williams?
Damn, thank you.
You're welcome. This was so brilliant. So, yes, there's the beef at McDonald's being fed, hand-fed by her David. The dark mother gets a little piece of beef. Or maybe a big piece of beef. We're not sure. This is just brilliant. I love the cowboy ways. And I like the little, you know, the little sadness in this with the mother and, you know, the death of the big brother, but she's able to see past that there's going to be, you know, a chance for her to be with him again. And she, you give her that light and that brightness, and I kind of thought that was very sweet, you know, along with the melancholy and all of that. So there is that. You put that in there, and I thought that was very nice. I there was another phrase in here I really liked. I like they were frightened too, but they handed me her quarter pounder with cheese too, because you know those McDonald's employees that you know, $12 an hour, they're going to stand there and do what they're supposed to do. There's just so many great lines in here. I thought they were really funny. A sub-octave question. I love that. Her sexy sub-octave. I like that voice that she's got going on there. It's the cowgirl in her methinks set free. Cowgirl butts drag me nuts. That's pretty funny, too. It was really good, David. Thank you for bringing in it. I'm glad you answered the question, where's the beef? That's hilarious to me. Oh, great. Pretty Bird, give me your thoughts on where's the beef.
Well, cowgirl butts drive me nuts, so there's that. You got a little feisty here, Dave.
I mean...
yeah.
You know, I can't complain. I like feisty, so you're good. But, you know, her rolling asynchronous oceans, I love her dark, mysterious notions. You know, there's something to be said with, you know, everybody's all sweetness and light. I am of the shadow, so I absolutely love that she is darkness personified, yet she is still,
yes.
You know, she's still kind. She's still, I mean, people may not look at it that way, but she is. And,
yeah.
It's a lovely, lovely thing to not be afraid of the dark. I'm just putting that right out there. Mm-hmm. So I really appreciated it.
Oh, thank you. Nice to hear from you again, too, kiddo.
Well, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
And Wayne, give me some love.
Yes. Well, that was an excellent appointment, Dave. Good writing job. And but I'm disappointed in you. I thought sure you was going to jump out and play the theme song for tonight. You know, you got a theme song tonight, don't you? The theme song is that. You know that song? Hello, cowgirl in the sand. I think you can play that.
Well, he says bring it all the time.
That's my favorite song one time. But yeah, good job. Good job. Good collab. And I enjoyed it. And it was good all the way through. And I was on your stage. I was on your scene tonight. But you didn't make it. Maybe next week you sing cowgirl in the sand. Good job.
Thank you, Wayne.
Oh, good Lord. And Reckon, what are your thoughts?
I never would have guessed that the Dark Mother was a cheap date. McDonald's, man? You could have at least taken her out for a real hamburger somewhere or a steak. It was clever, yeah. Though. You know, I like, you know, the theme, and you stuck to it doggedly. So there was that. It was a great piece.
Thank you.
A real whopper.
And Sky. Oh, sorry, Zach. I didn't mean to interrupt you.
No, you didn't really. It was just a thought.
Well, a thought is a thought. Sky, your thoughts then.
Well, I was just saying that, you know, I'm sorry I missed Sunday, but, and then I was questioning if I did after this poem. It was excellent. I liked the back and forth. I liked how you asked Sweet to do the voice because it was, like, very theatrical. And I did like the give and take of it. I thought the very, very clever in the little subtle points and perhaps dual meanings of this feeding of the hamburger. It was quite clever. And I do like how you bring in the personality of, you know, of each. And I think that she kind of just leaps right off the page and has a personality of her own. And I see that in everyone. But I don't know if it was because of dialogue in this one, but or if it's because, like, Sweet Red. I don't know. She got really into it, Sweet. It was really fun. It was really great piece.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you. All right, did I miss anyone? All right, how about Wayne? You ready to read for me, Wayne?
I guess so. I guess that's the only thing I might as well get over with. Well, I started 18 minutes before the show started. You can imagine how wonderful it can be. Anyway, I call this one up. Have you put on board yet? I call this one, hit him up. Boom out. What was that good? I did a cow puncher since back when I was in grade school. I did a few times in for the heifer and a bull. I'm no cowboy, but don't go think I'm a coward. The girls think I'm handsome. That's what I heard. I like putting them on the 10-count hat and say I'm a cowpoke. I didn't bring 14,000 in 1 hour. That's no joke. My job is to get cow chips out of cow style. If I get it done fast, I usually give a cowgirl a call. During the annual Cowabunga Cow Calling Contest, I won. Bringing cowbells over the cow shed was fun. My old cow neck buddy knew how to move. He was a co-winner. He was supposed to go back to the cowhouse for dinner. He was so happy I could cut the joint with a fork. I told him he could have a big steak. I could eat pork.
That's awesome. I like putting on my 10-gallon hat, say I'm a cow poach. I did run 14 cows in 1 hour. That's no joke. My job is to get all the cow chips out of the cow stall before I get done pay out, so you should give my cowgirl a call. Aww. That's wonderful. I thought this was great, and you wrote it in what? 2 seconds, knowing you? But you're going to eat pork. Of course you are. That's great. This is funny and cute. And I love the picture of the cows, by the way. And I love your title, Head 'em Up, Move 'em Out. the girls think I'm handsome. That's what I heard, because you are very handsome in my handsome way. I couldn't tell the difference before between a heifer and a bull. But you learned that awful fast, didn't you? Yeah, don't milk the bull. Perfect. Pretty Bird, your thoughts on Wayne and his not knowing the difference between a heifer and a bull?
Well, I can teach you a few things, Wayne. But I love this. I'm no cowboy, but I'll start thinking I'm a coward. Because, you know, there is this thing when you think cowboy, at least for me, and I'm basically a city girl. I happen to live by cows now, but I wasn't raised by cows. And so you know, there's this thing where you think of a cowboy with that big old hat and them tight jeans. And you know, the expectation is that they're very, very gracious and well-mannered and strong and get down there and start roping some things. And so, yeah, you know, so that's because you're not one of those. That you're a coward. So I kind of, I love that. I do. I love the whole, especially in light of your grandma's speech, I love the whole cow calling contest, because there's pig calling, there's cow calling, people can crow like a chicken at least. So those are the kinds of fairs we have around where I live now. So
that's right.
I'm feeling you. It sounds like a good time.
Thank you, ma'am.
You are welcome.
And Dragon Tour?
Yeah, I'm more rodeo common than the rest, so I like to do a great job with it. To just, you know, lift this up, that was really good. You did an excellent job with this tour.
Yeah, thank you. My hat's off to you.
And David?
Well, I like the second stanza. That kind of jumped out at me, but they're all good. But the second stanza was one I liked. I like putting on my 10-gallon hat, say I'm a cowpoke. I did brand 14 cows in one hour. That's no joke. My job is to get the cow chips out of the cow stall. If I get her done fast, I usually give my cowgirl a call. That's pretty cool. You know, I don't know. I've done my share of shoveling horse shit, and whether it be with my mouth or with a shovel, you know. But this was good. I liked it. It had a whole ring of truth to it too. It really did. And I like the way you used that. You wove a really interesting and funny story with it, and I thought you did a heck of a job. And it's a good poem. It really was.
Thank you, Dave. Oh, buddy.
You're welcome.
Buddy.
All right.
Yeah. Oh, there you are. Okay.
No, I'm here. I'm looking like a crazy person. And I'm looking to see where I am. Ooh. Okay. Where are we at? How about K? You want to read for K, Sky?
Yeah. I'd love to. And then, of course, Wayne, I love your alliteration.
Is K up there?
I think you're so funny.
I don't see her.
Oh, she was up earlier. She was taken down. She didn't come. Okay, never mind. I read Kay's earlier, and now she's not here. She must have taken it down.
Can I make a comment for Wayne?
Oh, yes. I'm sorry, Sky. Yes, Sky. Please make a comment for Wayne. Oh, my goodness. I can't forget. Yes, Sky.
Hey,
Wayne.
I was going to have you comment and then read for Kay, but she's not here, so.
I just wanted to tell you, Wayne, I thought this was really funny and really clever. I your punchlines are always wonderful, and getting there, and of course the alliteration throughout it, and the long line rhyme, and just the storytelling. You're really a great storyteller in any genre, and I think that that's a good talent to have, because whether it's dark or humorous, and I don't always do funny well, so I make the kid funny, but I can't do, like, you know, funny. So I always admire people that can make me laugh. I really enjoyed it. Thank you.
Well, you're my cowgirl for tonight.
Well, I worry about that because you're pro at, like, pushing people off cliffs and poisoning them, so, you know.
I'm going to go camping with you.
I know.
Oh,
I'm
see, now that sounds
camping.
Like a poem.
I'm
sounds like you're
going to
die, guy.
No, every time, no, he has, I mean, you may not know this, but he has lots of camping poems, and they always die. People always die. I am not taking the camping.
Yeah.
I just had the worst look. Terrible camping, I have the worst look you can imagine.
Nope.
All right, Sky, I'll just have you read you.
Okay.
Camping with
now,
one.
I don't have any cow poems, and I haven't written anything in about a month, really a month. I have not written one single thing in a month. I've been really busy. But this has a cow in it, so I thought it would do. So, this is called, and I have not read this in a while, so we're going to try this out. A Double Ace of Spades. By Sky Darkholm, and it is based on the book Animal Farm by George Orwell. So here we go.
Awesome.
When information is altered to twist perception of reality, an adjusted rhetoric of squealers, the illegitimate made legitimate. It is easy for Comrade Napoleon, or rather a stallion-like totalitarian, to take rise. And these propagandas do not stop in fictional stories, but in the hardware of historical texts, perhaps an Animal Farm commandment edited for aristocratic advantage. No animal shall sleep in a bed. No animal shall sleep in a bed with sheep. No animal shall kill any other animal. No animal shall kill any other animal without cause. And then, of course, there are those subtle changes, engineered and fueled by money and vices. And if the bending of history does not convince, there is always the use of fear-mongering, a culture of deception and exploitation, for it is easy to twist the wills of animal once tyrannized. Those who once sang Beast of England, filled with an idealism and dreams of equality, apathy to dictatorship. And how does one do this? Campaign of oppression, of course. First with the Great Purge, those in cahoots with Snowball, a Leon Trotsky-like army, though then the discrediting of Moses the cow. For belief in Sugar Candy Mountain, well, those are ideals could be threatening. And of course, there's always the what was, the Tsar's Nicholas II, Mr. Jones' throne. But how does one do this? Slow and tactful, brainwashed pups that make guards, and on the backs of boxer workhorses sent to slaughter, cover-up schemes so not to make a martyr, but a heroic history of one who had faith in causes, of windmills and freedom. This is easier to do when education is withheld, when it is only available to the privileged swine. Oh, there are the mollies of nobility whom fed early on to cut bows and sugar, the donkey authors of COVID opinion, those chess piece players and inner workings behind the scenes, intentions that lead to generations of forgetfulness, farmer Frederick Hitler dealings that lead to non-aggression treaties, fake bills and bad timber dealings, despite Pilkington allied powers, all leading to national-like invasions, the Battle of Cowshed. But overlaying all these gears is the oil of power vacuums after revolution. And what of those distant commandments, once pledged and preached to better such lives? Whatever goes upon two legs is an enemy. Whatever goes upon four legs or has wings is friend. Filed down over time to sheep chorus, four legs good, two legs bad. And then we learned an influence and condition with influence and conditioning. Four legs good, two legs better. It is here that the rise is complete and takes walk on two hooves. Wear the clothes of the past, play poker games, and hold whip. And all those who are made equal, but not more equal than others, all they can do is watch from behind glass windows of opposing powers as opposing powers call cheap, a power struggle written into books, one that calls itself war and poem.
Wow. You know, this is fabulous, right? No animals shall sleep in a bed. No animals sleep in a bed. The sheep. No animals shall kill any other animal. No animals shall kill any other animal. That cause. And if the bending of history does not convince, there is always the use of fear mongering, a culture of deception and exploitation. I love those phrases just because it's the times of the times, because we always like to change the times of the past times of future times of the times. First with the Great Purge, in cahoots with the snowballs, like me and Trotsky, like Arnie. If you've never read Animal Farm, I think it's a great book. It's, to me, one of the greatest metaphor books that you could possibly ever read. It's like, if you want to learn to write in metaphor, read Animal Farm. Animal Farm, and it's like reading the human race in metaphor. It's amazing. I haven't read it in years and years, and I probably should go back and read it. Whatever goes upon two legs is an enemy. Whatever goes upon four legs has wings is a friend. Four legs good, two legs bad. Again, metaphorically brilliant. And I think you did such an amazing job writing this book. Power struggle, as opposing powers called cheat, as a power struggle written into books, one that called itself war. I love the last two stanzas too. This is deep, it's brilliant. It's, of course, a Sky Dark Home poem. I really enjoyed this guy.
Thank you, sweet.
And Miss, you're welcome. Miss Pretty Bird, your thoughts?
Yeah, it's been too long since I've read this book, and you make me want to read it again. You know, it's a I want to say this very book is the reason I've always had such an aversion to politics. I mean, talk about spin, and the sad thing is that whenever this book was written, which was a million years ago, it's just as relevant today, like, unfortunately. It really and truly is, and talk about spin. You know, I like the black and white nature of no animal shall sleep in a bed. Maybe just not a bed with sheets. You know, they're mighty comfortable. And no animal shall kill any other animal. Well, you know, bar fights happen. This happens. He did this. He did that. Maybe without cause. You know, so I love how there are excuses for everything. And then down here with, four legs versus two legs versus two legs with wings. And it's true, where there's a core of similarity between the original, and then between spin and spin and spin, that with enough time in between and a gentle nudge to the masses, you almost don't even notice that it happened, and then things just are the way they are, and you know, that's some serious power when you can whisper two words and change the thoughts of all the animals. You know, so I thought you did a great job with this. I have to go back and read that book. It's been way too long.
I know.
Yeah, exactly. For the word. The conditioning is just, it's a really powerful thing on any subject, Pretty Bird. So I agree. Thank you. Yeah.
And Wayne, your thoughts?
Well, I've never read the book. I haven't remembered this anyway. But I do remember the Battle of the Cowshed. The Pygmies and Hogden. This is a wonderful form of history of the Animal Farm, and I wish I got to read it because I like the four legs good, and I know two things ain't bad at all. Got a lot of stuff in this form with the donkey authors and poker players and the chess players, and so I liked it a whole lot. I'm ready to read the book because it sounds like it'd be pretty interesting. I'll probably get lost about it in the first chapter, but great form there.
Thank you, Wayne.
Yeah.
You're welcome.
And Bracken Tour.
Yeah, this was a smorgasbord of philosophy. I wouldn't want to call it politics per se, because it's more philosophy than anything. You know, human nature. It's to me different from politics. I mean, it's the social commentary on human relations and whatnot. You know, whether it's pigs or people. You know, and like you said, the metaphor of it's a pig and whatnot. Were you saying sheep or sheets? You said sheets, right?
As in linen.
Oh,
yeah.
What?
Okay. Yeah, but because when you were first reading it, I my screwed up brain twisted part of what you said, and it's not worth repeating. It's just, you know. I'm a dyed-in-the-wool idiot, so leave me alone. I thought it was a cool piece, you know, much to the book itself, and you know, like you said, the conditioning is a big thing, and the whole hierarchy of structure of the animals themselves.
Thank you, Rick.
And David, your thoughts?
Well, I got a whole bunch of different, inspirations off this poem. I think it touched on several different things. One, the fact that animals don't kill each other for sport. I think that's just relegated to humans, and then this one thing here that says, a dog shall not sleep, no animal shall sleep in a bed, no animal shall sleep in a bed with sheets. Nobody sold that to my dog yet. He hasn't heard that, I guess. So I have to move him around occasionally. One more. When I'm sleeping. Anyhow, I don't know, this poem kind of reminded me of that Pink Floyd song called Pigs on the Wing. It just, I don't know, for some reason, it's a really great song out of the Animals album, and I saw it in person during the when they were on their Animals tour in Portland, and it was really a neat song. It stuck with me for a long time, and this brought this back out all over again. This has some wide-reaching connotations to it. I love the way you wrote this, guy. I think this was really outstanding, it makes sense. And you know, it's good when a poem can trigger so many different responses in a person like it did me. So this was really well done, and pat yourself on the back for this one, please.
Thank you, Jim.
You're welcome.
She was moved.
All right. Now, did I miss anybody? Let me double check. Blah, 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 blah. No, we're good. All right. Pretty, pretty bird.
Yes, dear.
Pretty, pretty bird. Would you like to read?
Off a shoulder.
Who am I reading?
You?
Deb.
Yeah, is she not coming?
No.
Okay. Happy to read her.
Okay.
Okay, she's on the board. And this is in the newspaper headlines by Miss Beverly. And it goes like this. The rodeo is in Cowtown this month. Now the cowboys and cowgirls flock. Cars line up to park and buy tickets. The parking lot line is around the block. Cowhands wear cowhides riding horses, but the rodeo clown rides in on the cow, with the cowbell swinging as she struts till all eyes turned gaze at the pink sow. She laughs so hard, teardrops are spilling. Pointing at the nag pierced by the cowcatcher welded on the metallic blue pickup truck, she then flips and squashes two co-workers. Chef grinds and grills the meat for a cheeseburger, served hot all at the concession stands with icy beer. And you can buy fries topped with bacon crumbles or sausage and peppers made from diced beer, but not barbecue pulled pork or racks of baby back ribs. Tonight, they serve the beef and no hog meats here. But did anybody tell you the big news? Doctors sew cow part transplants into people, and now as the mice hide in trees spying the view, those people dump steaming cow pie, not on the bathroom toilets, but outside poo circled in house and horseflies that dot the land. Today, newspaper headlines pose this question as the reporters stand around taking polls. If people with cow parts eat the burgers, are those folks cannibals? And boom.
Oh, Deborah Lee. Oh, my God, that's hilarious. That's kind of a spinoff of a joke I do when I first had my cow parts, but that's a beautiful poem. I love this so much. The radio isn't Cowtown this month, not the Cowboys and the Cowgirls, Flock Cars, Bark and Bucky. But I love this, she laughs so hard, teardrops are spilling, pointing the nag pierced by the cowcatcher, wells down the metallic truck, blue pickup truck, then she flips and squashes two coworkers. Let's grind up that cow, let's have some fun, serve it with cold beer. Doctors can sew cow part transplants into people, and now that the mice hide in three. This is great. If people eat cow parts burgers, are those folks cannibals? I don't know. I often think about that when I chop into a steak. Am I eating my sister? This is just fabulous. You never know when you look into the eyes. Got to thank a cow for the fact that I've been able to live such a great and wonderful life for the last 2 years. Cows are my friend. Cows are my spirit animal now. But, yeah, I often wonder, if I eat the cow, am I cannibal? Oh, this is fabulous, Deb. Thank you. It made me giggle all the way through. Just absolutely made me giggle. Am I a cannibal? Yes, I wonder. I wonder that myself. Brilliant. You read it, Pretty Bird. What did you think?
Okay, first, I looked at the picture of this little girl just kind of looking like she's popping a squat, and I was like, oh, this is going to be interesting. And so when we get down to, you know, those people spying, you know, being spied by the mice with the dumping steaming cow pie outside, I was just like, oh my, she absolutely went there, which just cracks me the F up. First of all, you know, these people are going to the rodeo, then there's carnage, but it makes for good barbecue, so we're good. And I'm like, well, all righty then. And, you know, with the leftover parts, let's fix up some people and see what happens. So she absolutely just runs the gamut from cowboy to, well, you know, let's face it, meat is good. You know, I will never, ever, ever mm-hmm. be, you know, all vegan because I like the red meat. And so I'm good with the hamburgers and the steaks. And that, well, since it's said already, we might as well eat it because, you know, waste not, want not.
Yes, absolutely. And Wayne, your thoughts?
Well, I like this. Deb knows how to put the rattle in my saddle when I'm talking about cattle. I don't know about you, but Deb makes me move. And she did ask the important question, if people with cow parts eat burgers, are those folks cannibals? No, they're cowboys. Great job. I leave the point.
Cowboys. And Dave, your thoughts?
I love the way Deborah Lee writes. She's always interesting and entertaining, and this was nothing different. It's great. It was a really picturesque storyline in it. She laughs so hard, teardrops are spilling, pointing at the nag pierced by the cowcatcher welded on a metallic blue pickup truck. Then she flips and squashes two co-workers. It's funny and it's fun, you know. And I agree with a lot of what Pretty Bird said about it, and I also would like to say that you did a stellar job of reading this, too. So, anyway, a good poem. I enjoyed it.
Excellent. Raconteur.
I was depressed for a moment when she said no racks, but other than that, I liked it. You know, it's a great piece. I'm getting hungry tonight. It was a bad idea listening to this on an empty stomach.
That's funny. And I have it here. Oh, hold on. I got some manhole. Hello, 858.
Hey, it's Boston.
Hey, Boston. How you doing? Welcome to Cow Show.
Hi. I missed the read.
Hi.
Hi.
Hi. I'm getting comments for Devon. I think I got everybody. Did I miss anybody? Who did I miss? Sky. Sky. Comments for Devon.
Yeah, I thought this was great. You know, I'm just picturing this, like, horror film coming into fruition with people getting cow parts replaced in their body and then turning into cows and, like, pooping everywhere. Like, what is happening, Deb? This is just... It's very, very creative. And I really like at the end that you just leave us on that, you know, they're taking a poll now. I have to agree with Rack. I know that there's a lot of, like, darker parts, but that bacon crumbles and the sausage peppers. I'm with Rack on that. And, you know, no matter how she can write me this dark, terrible poem, and by the end of it, I'm still hungry. It doesn't matter what genre she writes. I'm always hungry after reading Deb's poems. I don't know what it is. Even when she puts the M word in it, like somewhere in there, I was hungry. It's crazy. But I thought this was really clever and the storytelling. And I liked how she linked like a conversation that she had with you and put it into the piece. So it made it extra special. Really well done.
All right. I hate to just get on the poo wagon, but I wrote a very short poem that has poo in it too. And I just finished it, but if you want to read my cow, I was going to read my poo poem. So it's really kind of stupid. Nella was going to read it tonight, but because she wrote poo, I'm going to write the read of poo. Because it's really bad, so don't laugh at me. But this is my poo poem. Are you guys ready?
Yeah. Yes.
It's really bad. This is Cow Hill Ridge. On the hill of Cowhide Ridge, a cowherd moved. Over the horizon stood the cow houses of Carrie, Callie, and Rue. Always in cow nets, be it gray skies or blue, checking out cow pies for no runny poo. This job is not fun for Carrie, Callie, or Rue, but under each cowtail, a looky look they do. Heroes against the cowpox virus growing on other shoes. Don't laugh, be careful, beef licker. A mad cow might shoot. And poem.
Now what did AP tell you about cows with guns?
No. He was just shooting his mouth full.
You know,
but you have to, wait a minute, you have to look at the pun of shoot.
That is really kind of
gross.
Careful, beef My dog had that problem not too long ago. I've got some PTSD. It's fine. And
But, you know, that's literally going to be somebody's job. I mean, if they are looking to see for signs of illness, you know, the even with babies, you need to, you know, eyeball their poo every single time, you know, make sure it ain't funky. So, yeah, I feel bad for these people. And, yeah, no shooting sports, my love. But thank you for that wonderful image. And, again, my PTSD. So that's wonderfully colorful. I don't know that you've ever written poo. So there you go. It's going to be a poo-filled
image. I haven't.
Now you have. So, Boston, what are your thoughts on these cow pies?
I was seeing everything shooting around. And then my image came where, have you ever seen, like, when horses get examined? I haven't seen a cow get examined, but they put these big gloves on, and they have to go way up and fire them.
Mm-hmm.
So I had that cow thing here. You know
they do the same thing for the cows, up to the shoulder.
I'm sure they do. Like I said, I haven't seen it. But that was my imagery. That's where you took me. And I can't imagine that coming out all over you.
That's just heartless.
Oh, my goodness. That's so funny, though.
Do they wear masks, too? I mean, like, do they protect their eyes and their mouths?
I mean,
they protect everything.
I don't know. There's one guy around here that he'll wear the glove, but he stands over to the side, feels what he has to feel, takes it off, moves on to the next cow. So, you know, I guess it depends on how
you do it. Yeah,
what they're looking for. You're like, no, you don't want to stand in front of them. No, you don't. Or behind them, whatever.
No.
That is so funny. So, Skye, what are your thoughts?
Well, I'll tell you what. I don't care if you wrap my whole body in saran wrap. I ain't doing that job. You can give me gloves, masks, anything. Rubber boots, not happening. Sweet. I feel like this is like the time that I wrote a poem about, and then at the end it was such a beautiful poem, and then there was a fart joke at the end because I couldn't help myself. And so...
This is just one big fart joke.
It's just one of those things that sometimes you just have to let go. And so did these cows. Excellent.
Well, you know, that's because shit happens. So, Wayne, what are your thoughts, Wayne?
Well, I said I'm a beef licker and a sheep sticker and a cow pie picker. I like this, and anyone here want to try to milk me tonight?
God, it's Monday night.
Oh, Wayne, my goodness.
I'm a bull.
And David,
God.
What are your thoughts?
I wasn't around when this was being read. I was out messing with my dog. He had to tear around outside, so I'll have to pass on this one. I'm sorry.
Good for you. That's fine. Good for you. You didn't miss much.
Just, you know, a little squirt here, a little squirt there. It's fine. And Rack and Tour, your thoughts.
Didn't I?
Didn't I? Did you talk about poo? I think you thought you talked about poo, but okay. Back to you, sweetie.
I missed
all
something.
All right, this is the worst poem I've ever written. We will just delete it right now. anyway. Okay. Let's see. Who else do I have to do?
You deleted it.
I did.
You deleted. Well, I was commenting, and it says this is deleted. Sorry.
Yeah, I did delete it. I deleted it. It's the worst poem I've ever written.
All right.
Call me Sky Darkholm.
the word she deleted
I'm
from
like,
the
well,
word
what
bank.
The heck?
It
I
was
even
the
had
word
to look
she
up
deleted
the...
from the word bank.
Yeah, emoji too.
Oh, sorry.
Anyway. That's okay.
But thank you for trying to like make me feel better. But I was like, oh my
yeah.
God, that's horrible. You know, we have our own opinions of ourselves. But anyway, love you guys. Let's see. Pre-bird.
Yes, dear.
Actually, I'm going to, let's see. Wayne, are you leaving me? Is Wayne leaving me?
Yeah.
Bye, Wayne.
Night.
I love you.
He has to leave before.
Okay. I love Wayne. Wayne makes me laugh. Sky, can you read Budo for me, please? Will you look at that and then tell me if you can read it? Because, Pretty Bird, did you bring me anything to read?
Yes, I did. And so
okay. Well,
can't
Sky always likes, I know you like to pre-read. So I'm going to have
Thanks.
Pretty Bird read so you can pre-read Budo.
Okay.
See how nice I am tonight? I'm not usually this nice.
Yeah, she's like, I'm normally kowtow to us like this.
Aw, listen to you. Such a punny guy.
Oh, my goodness. Okay. It is on the board. This is Cowhands, Cowgirls, and Lions. Oh, my. And goes like this. The lion struggles with his put him up mental cowardice, spewing cow pie bravado to coworkers, cow towing and respectless co-written rhyme that never listened to the cowbird sing, co-washing cowlicks through filtered refrains from cowgirl to cowhand turns cow patties to field apples, but it's just the same old sugar honey iced tea. Coward-esque pandering, cowering neath cowhide does not give a yellow belly thick skin. Cowtailing to the rugged perception of false cowlings, riding the cow path like you're the first on the trail. But trailblazers aren't the smooth talkers lagging behind the herd. Like no one will notice, it's not really about who one pretends to know. Cowpunchers avoid the cowage and the sewage spewed on cow-tongued lions that struggle with his put 'em up mental cowardice. And Paul.
You're freaking brilliant. That is a mouthful. That, oh my God, that was brilliant. my computer, I just had a power surge. My computer just went, so now I don't have it in front of me. I'll send you a comment and then I'll get back to where I was. That's my computer reboot.
I came back to read it because I was half listening and doing something else. But can you move on to something else? I'm at cow washing.
Oh, sure. Rat and Corey, your thoughts.
Yeah, Budo did a great job with this. You know, I love the
that's
cow
not
puns.
Budo, that's Pretty Bird. That's Pretty Bird.
Get the hell out of here. And she said she doesn't do funny. That was excellent. What did you do to me? I was having a thought about, you know, people that deal with cow pies cows in general and say that they're on meth. You know, it's a different kind of methane. So I'm catching fumes. I don't know. I love your writing.
Thanks.
Okay, I'm back. I like cow washing cowlicks through filtered refrains from cowgirl to cowhand turns cow patties field apples. But it's just the same old sugar honey iced tea. First off, I eat iced tea. I drink a lot of iced tea now. I'm very afraid. But the trails are... Trailblazers aren't new talkers lagging behind the herd. Like no one will notice, it's not really about who one pretends to know. So, yeah, this is all mental BS, but I fell in love with this because you are one smooth-talking woman. But I love how you put the lion in here like Puma, Puma, Puma. I love how you did that. And I like listening to Cowbird sing. And you just kind of went all through this, like you yell at Belly SOV, I'm just telling you this is the way it's going to be. And, you know, like no one really pretends to know. And the sewage spewed on cow tongue lions that struggle with put 'em up mental cowardice. So it's got this really great, you know, lines through it, like, you know, kind of like screw you, we all are cowards behind that and all that. So you've got this kind of subtle tale that's going through this too. So it's funny, but it's also got that subtle tale of what we're all about through that. So I think that's brilliant on its own, Miss Pretty Bird, Pretty Bird. So who's caught up with me now? You're welcome. Let's see, Sky. I know you're on top of it.
I thought this was so great. I love the play on Lions and Tigers and Bears, oh my. I thought it was so funny how you twisted that into Cowhands, Cowgirls, and Lions, oh my. And, you know, you're one of those people that I have to, I like to read. I do. But I have to listen to you read your own poems because the way your cadence, your rhythm, your enthusiasm, your stresses and unstresses are just brilliant. I really enjoy it. And, you know, this was, and I don't even know, and I love tongue-twisting poems. I really do. And I could read my own, but I don't know if I could, I don't think I could do this enough justice as you did. This was so great. There were so many cows. even when you did, when you, like, the cow, cow towing and the cow written rhyme, I just thought that was so clever. You twisted so many words, and because of the pace in which you read it, like, it wasn't like cow, 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 cow. It wasn't like overbearing. It was very, it was just fit perfectly.
Thank you.
Yeah, like you would think so many cows in one poem, but by the end you'd be like, oh my gosh, I'm spinning with cows. But the way that you did it, it was like you just snuck them in there, and it just it was really cool how you did it. And then the cow washing, and then not only doing that, but you played with like the cow licks, cow washing cow licks through filtered refrains. I really liked that. That was cool. And then to put it all together, you put the story, and I really liked the Sugar Honey Iced Tea. I really loved that. And the story, it's very clever. And I have to agree, it's humorous. You did a great job. I was really pleased. I didn't even read Budo's poem while you were reading, so I was like, forget that, I'm not missing it. Really well. Really well done.
Thank you. Much appreciated.
Oh, Austin, you're fine.
Yeah, no, I love the take on the lion, you know, put him. Oh, you can just hear it. But I agree with you also where it's like you got my punch spinning, but at the same time there is a storyline and it is deeper than what you might think, you know. So I thought it was quite clever. But,
thank you.
And I can just see, like, you know, not to repeat somebody else, but, like, but trailblazers aren't the smooth talkers lagging behind the herd. And ain't that the truth, right? Like, no one will notice it's not really about who once it tends to know. So I thought it was cool.
Thank you. I appreciate
it. And then, like you have cow everywhere, though. So that's pretty amazing. It's not cow with pole, but it's pretty close to cow.
That is all Sweet Pea's cow word bank. She had like 100 of them.
Oh, I didn't even look, because I just put mine in, so my bad.
It's dangerous territory when
you're good.
You're talking about cows.
Okay. Yeah. But those cowlicks, like, you know, one time standing in line at the beach, and this little kid had a cowlick, and no marriage around, and he licked his palm, and then he sat that thing down. Like he knew it was sticking up.
All my kids have heads like bowling balls, so they all have a big old giant hurricane swirl on the back of their head.
Yep, there you go. Wow. It's directional.
Sweet, you've heard Sugar Honey Iced Tea, right? That's the an acronym for, you know.
Uh-huh.
You know, Sugar
Honey.
No, oh, okay. Well, you know, it's just the same old instead of.
I see it. Okay.
Thanks, because I just made a fool out of myself. I had no idea what that was for, and I don't drink that at all.
I'm like, why is that in there?
Ask Rack. I never get any jokes. I got it.
I didn't get it either.
That's so funny.
The first time I ever heard that was in Madagascar. So if I didn't have kids, I never would have heard it.
Oh, heard. That's a good one.
Oh, there. I'm accidentally punny.
That is funny.
Accidentally.
I missed it.
Accidentally on porpoise.
Okay, Sky, are you ready for Buto?
Yes, I did read when everybody was commenting.
Okay.
So, Angry Cow Syndrome by Budho. I heard that cows are ignorant, but I know that this to be untrue. They are actually quite intelligent, with much more than the moo. Cows are highly complex socially, have alphas that rule the herd, the leaders inquisitive totally, self-confident and self-assured. They show mourning the death or separation from a loved one, invoking devoted tears and depth from memories together spun. Cows can remember 50-plus, their relationships so prized, while pushy ones who make a fuss, not accepted nor recognized. So next time that you see one moo, think twice of their intelligence. It might be they are thinking, too, of our own forlorn irrelevance and hope. Sorry, couldn't help but chuckle.
Wow. Well. They're looking at us like we're the stupid ones. Interesting. yeah, cows are dumb. Cows are pretty complex. They have, I really like this because it says a lot about cows. I mean, you know, poor Bella Ray's family, they laid her down and they waited to find somebody compatible. They found me, they let her go, they took her off life support, they gave me her parts, and now I get to live. It was quite amazing when I met her mother. Anyway, this is beautiful. Invoking devoted tears and death from memories together spun.
Mm-hmm.
They sound like almost like elephants. For our own forlorn irrelevance, I like that a lot. I like how they're pushy ones who make a fuss, not accepted or recognized. They're kind of pushed out of the herd. Yeah, we're not allowed to do that. This is pretty cool. I didn't know this much about cows. I really didn't. I didn't know a lot about cows till about 2 years ago, but I didn't know this much about cows. But I don't see, you know, their relationships are so prized. But that's among the females. The bull really doesn't care at all. I just want to point that out. This is pretty cool. Thank you, Budho. Thanks for sending me cow things. Pretty Bird, your thoughts?
I love cows. They are wonderfully sentient. They have this whole... My favorite part about cows is that they do mourn, but they're also very joyful, and they kind of remind me of big, massive puppies because you can scratch them on the ears. They will love on you, not realizing that they're like, I don't know how many hundreds of pounds of please don't squash me. So they're fabulous. But my favorite thing about cows is that they rear each other's young. Like, they're like, girl, okay, you need a break, and they will give like half the cows a break while the other cows have all everybody's little babies up in a circle, and they're like guarding them in a big giant circle, so that they let their moms just, you know, relax. And I'm just like, oh, cows are so smart. They're fabulous. So I love that, and I love how tender Budo writes, it's almost like he's like in the all up in the fields of the cows where they're sad and they're mourning, and he kind of pulls us into that, because not for nothing, most people only see cows when they're driving down the highway if they happen to be passing some kind of dairy farm or, you know, other farm. And to this day, by the way, I still moo out of the window like they give a crap, but whatever. And they don't realize, you know, they're like, ooh, that's going to taste good on my plate. And they're very understanding. Like, they are smart, smart animals. They also
I really adore that Dan sent me something about Celebration of My Cow Heart, because Dan and I are patrons in the heart surgery world, because he's had open heart surgery like me, and he helped me through that too. So thank you, Dan, very much. You made me smile. So, Sky, your thoughts?
Yeah, I thought it was great. You know, where I live, I can't go 2 seconds without seeing a cow. They're everywhere where I am. That's all that's around is trees, lakes, and cows. It's insane. But exactly. I thought, and you know, my favorite thing about, I mean, now that we're all talking about my favorite things, these are a few of my favorite things. They really like music, and if you play music, they'll come right over. They really are intrigued by music. I think that's really cool. This is really, really awesome. I loved the rhyme, the catches. It was quite beautiful. And I like how he starts off, you know, the perception of some things are untrue. And how he goes through, you know, he kind of says his thesis here. You know, he says, you know, people think that they're ignorant, but they're really intelligent. And then he goes through in a poetic type, you know, way, going through all these beautiful things that they entail, with like socially complex, with the leaders and the different ranks, and then of course the mourning, the deaths, which I didn't know that one, and the separations. I think that when you could create links, I think you can create a link to any animal, and I think we should do it more. And when you put into perspective those types of emotions and characteristics, you see animals differently, and as we should. So I love that he did that. Really well done.
And Boston, your thoughts?
I just thought it was really sweet and tender to me. It's like, you know, he wanted you to cuddle right up to it, and like, you know, look at this guy. Isn't he sweet? And he's smart, and he'll stay with you, and, you know, he'll be your buddy. I mean, you know, do you really want to eat him?
Yes.
I don't know. Yeah, I know. But I just thought it was really sweet. He just took a whole different approach to it. I didn't know they were smart. And I just see them on the freeway, or I smell them on the freeway when I go up north. But I have beach by me, so I have no cows around me, so I can't comment on that. But I just thought it was real tender.
Surprised.
Yeah.
Authorized.
Yeah. Rack your cow thoughts.
Yeah, I was almost upset that he didn't, you know, make it funny. But, you know, he did a great job, you know, educating us on cows. I'm going to eat them anyway. But, you know, I think Pretty Bird said it best when she said, you know, they're like big puppies. They, you know, if you watch their personalities and whatnot, you know, you can kind of see it. You really can. And you know, I have seen them do like the kind of lean into you when you stroke them and whatnot. They're very social beings, but you know, I still have no guilt over eating them because I'm not involved in that culling process. that's horrible. But you know, it's delicious at the same time. So I don't know what to say. I can't fault it. Yeah, he did a great job, though. He really did. He's got a lot of facts in there. He's got a lot of cow words in there. It was just a lovely piece. Grade A, Budo.
Yeah, grade A, Budo. That's a funny pun. Just FYI.
Grade A, I love it.
All right. Yes. All right, Boston, are you ready to read?
Sure.
Excellent.
Mine's really short, and it's funny. I mean, like, if you can...
Well, so am I, but everybody likes it.
Ground beef.
You are on the board.
Okay, let me see. This was a brevity for Viv, and I put, somehow my muse was attracted to the abstract once again. I think my title was a culprit, and that's saying, why buy the cow when you can get the milk for free? So, you know, where I went with it. So why am I hearing a mooing cow utterly holding out its milk? A little play on words there. The key to the gingerbread man isn't in the oven. It's the greasing of the pan and the detailed hand molding the bread. Poem.
God.
Did you get it?
Okay, first off, I get this. This is fabulous. I love this, just so that you know. Hold on.
That would be me.
Hold on
one
second. Damn. My damn freaking computer keeps blinking out on me. Prever, give her your comment, please.
You know, you pack a lot
and
of
this guy, you can
words.
Give
us... This is, and maybe it is just me, but, you know, my happy place is Sunday nights, and this is sensual and fabulous, and
oh, it is.
With the molding of the bread and a detailed hand, mm-hmm. and I don't know what else I can say on PG-13, but this is steamy, and not for nothing, your title cracks me up, because, you know, with the udders and holding out the milk, and it's just, yeah, no, it got me. It's fabulous. I absolutely love it, but... You know, for innocent-minded people, of which I am not, nor have I been for a very long time, it's still a very sweet poem, you know? So I loved how it worked on it's just multi-layered.
It is.
And then there's a lot in there. How many words? It's 23 words.
Wow.
That is just fabulously vivid. I mean, you gotta love it, you know. And when it takes you to the details and the molding, you know it's good.
She broke the milk and cooked.
Yeah,
well,
that's funny.
God.
Oh my God.
All right, Sky, your thoughts.
Thank you.
I thought this was great, and I did. I thought, well, I. Where it said something about the udders, but I thought that was pretty clever in the beginning. And the double play on words, you know, I mean, it was a little straight forward for me, if you got straight, but I did enjoy
it. Oh, God.
I did enjoy it. I thought it was really clever. I thought that in very few words, you have to really be, I guess, like, really pay attention to get everything. You have to kind of piece it apart because there's so many clever spins on words that, and then once you do get it, it's like click, and you're just smiling ear to ear, and you're like, oh, look at that. That's really clever. Really well done. Yeah.
Thank you.
A little sweet and a little sultry.
Mm-hmm. Look at Sky with the
pun. A little bam bam. Huh?
I was all look at Sky with the phones.
I forgot what the quote was. A door slightly ajar is more intriguing than a fully open one. So that's why I went with that.
That reminds me of my mama. Because, you know, she was all, if you're going to have the girls looking hot, wear a longer skirt. But if it's all about the legs, cover them little girls up. And so, you know, you can't just give it all away.
No, you can't. There's nothing left to imagination.
Right?
Absolutely.
Yeah. And there's something to be said about a tease. I need to stop talking. So I'm going to get myself in trouble like I always do because my mind is always on Sunday night.
Yeah,
so.
It is.
Yeah. I love you.
Rockin' Tour, your thoughts.
I don't think I could beat, you know, she brought the milk and cookies other than to say that, you know, you guys keep saying it was sweet, but she had gingerbread, so that kind of counterbalanced the sweet a little bit. You know, I thought it was great. You know, I love plays on words, and, you know, tend to not my friend. Some of the guilty before you might as well be on board with what happens. A fantastic job with the language. It was really delectable.
Thank you.
I'm standing in your field.
What did you say? I didn't hear that.
I said you were outstanding in your field.
Yeah. Oh, thank you. Oh, in my field. Uh-huh, thank you. The field of play. I can go on to. Go ahead.
No, I agree with everyone. I think it is all about the molding of the hands and doing what needs to be properly shaped and formed. I don't know if anybody hasn't commented on this. I think we're good. Pretty Bird, did you get my message? Is that up and ready to go?
Uh-huh. I messaged back.
Okay. I told you my computer just keeps going off and off.
Oh,
and off,
yeah.
And on.
Yeah, you're good. Just refresh. It should be right on time.
So,
computer button.
Okay. So, yeah, it is fighting a farm tonight. If we want to put him up and talk about Rack Show, and then we're pretty much done for the evening.
Hey, Hatter. I see
Hatter's
him.
Not here.
He is.
He's on the board.
We lost. Oh, hey, Hatter. Come join us for a minute if you want.
Well, Rack, talk about your show.
Your show.
My show. When it's not this Thursday, is it?
No.
Yeah. Okay. It's the one that got skipped last time. So, you know, it was a convoluted mess of emotions, like most of my shows are. So, pretty much anything will fit. One of the quotes that I kind of loosely based the thought on was about, you know, when somebody is mad at you. Don't be upset when I yell at you. Be upset when I don't, because that means I don't care anymore. You know, that was the driving thought behind it. But, you know, the way things can get misdirected about emotions, it was I forget what the tag was, Pretty Bird, if you remember. It was,
well,
like,
I'm looking at it, so if you want me to.
It was like emotional
fallout.
What were the two words? Yeah, the emotional fallout. Yeah, the biggest thing, you know, to me, when it comes to stuff like that, is you know, when you're involved with someone, when you love someone and really care about them, there's a dichotomy about it that's really very disturbing sometimes, because they're the people that you rely on the most to understand you, and you expect the understanding from the most, but they're the ones that usually get hit with the brunt of, you know, your emotions when you're mad. So you could, you know, yell and scream and think that they don't understand that you're not mad at them, and then, you know, they feel like they're getting yelled at. So it's really unfortunate sometimes, and that was the thought that came from that. So convoluted, like I said.
But relatable.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, the complexities of human relationships are just endless, you know, because you have that whole, you know, worry when I don't yell. And then the other side of that is, you know, I didn't do nothing to you. Don't take it out on me. And so, you know, depending on whose mojo is stronger that day depends on who wins that fight. It's just, it's a mess. But, you know, emotions are.
It usually ends up being unfortunate.
Yeah.
I agree. And sometimes I want to say, you know what, don't love me so much, okay? Find somebody else to yell at.
Exactly.
Well, what was that quote from Moonstruck? Get over it.
What's that?
It was Sharon Moonstruck. Get over it when he said, I love you. Get over it.
Get over it. All right, let's play Mr. Tice. Okay, he's on the board. Here we go. Let me go to mute. Somebody has to listen to me.
Love's impromptu. I do accept that the code of nature in my heart has been encouraged by a wide preconception. Hatreds, wholeheartedly mine, for which blame in parts. Some discomfort is shown, it's been invaded. Dense as a means to portray what is neglected. You'll have sunlight every day, not to discover the meaning of life. Had you noticed, detected that my darkness undercover shows no other. I'm determined though to find what of sunlight. And for any other, there is this smooth lackluster, passionate glimpse, something more than slight, opening any wonder as to why I cannot muster, to penetrate as light by what it feels to gather, that things are holy now to contend myself, if not to forget love around me, a world rather forgotten, it has to impose upon merely health. Others seem unabashed. Where there is mention of money, another ill trait, for which this peril evolves around, it seems there is with intention, rising above the other, a hint of whose is feral. A love I can no doubt understand if being close, without you to attach whereby it were necessary, to match for detail spreading, love which grows, dissection of a nature not as sad but just as wary. I continue in the hope of lost abandonment, shy. Why that is, existence is important to the likes. There are moments when unlike dark I can try. With much determined effort sunlight strikes.
Titus, you can write a love poem like no other. I continue in the hope of lost abandonment, shy. What this is, existence is important to the life. There are moments when, unlike dark, I can try. With much determined effort, sunlight strikes.
It's beautiful.
I know. He just loves, I just love his concepts and how they intertwine, and this journey towards love. Metaphorically, I think he just is brilliant. I think that Titus has this way of bringing light and dark together and you know, trying to portray that in this poem. You know, he's locked metaphorically. I think that this is kind of sad, you know, because he feels that there's darkness and he can't find love. And he's searching and he's searching and he's searching. And there's such a darkness in it. But, you know, I don't... at the end, there's that, you know, with much determined effort, sunlight strikes. And I find that so hopeful that even through all of his darkness, he does find that light. And that's where I find the beauty. And, you know, like I said, he can write a love poem like no other. Pretty Bird, your thoughts?
Ah, Titus, you know. This whole thing and my precursor to anything I say is I'm probably wrong, but he starts this off lonely and everybody thinks he's you know, because of his nature that, you know, he's just full of all of this hatred and all of this stuff and it's not even his anymore. It's been
invaded and dense as a means to portray what is neglected, you'll have sunlight every day not to discover the meaning of life had you noticed or detected that my darkness undercover shows no other. So it doesn't matter how dark I am. I will shine whatever light I can muster on you who is already shining. And I love how his darkness has been invaded by the very likes of this person. And then in the third verse, which is my favorite, it says, I am determined, wait, is it that one? Yeah, to find what of sunlight. And for any other, there's this smooth, lackluster, passionate glimpse, you know, something more than slight. And it's like, no wonder, you know, I can't with that nonsense. It's like an all or nothing thing, this lackluster passion yours just will not do. And I love that, that even though he is cold and dark, it's not good enough. That little bit of, you know, it's something to do is just not good enough. And I love that. I love the idea of that.
And Boston, your thoughts?
Yeah, you know, you can almost like feel him walking down a pathway with the Hedra, you know, and just kind of like, to me, like shoulders, you know, shrugged and kind of sad, but seeing sunlight and seeing it weaving in between the leaves and, you know, trying to find what beauty there is within. And as he recites, you know, his voice is so subdued and there's just a heavy sadness within it, but at the same time he still chugs along, you know. And so when you get to the parts like you were just mentioning, where the sunlight, you will have sunlight every day not to discover. I mean, it's like he shines in so many places within it, even though his heart is really heavy. And he locks you up at the end, which with the hope, but I continue in the hope of lost abandonment shy. So like, you know, he's still withheld, you know, but he's still not afraid to go. It's not keeping him back, even though he's not sure. And there are moments when, unlike dark, I can try. So I just thought it was just moving, but it's like really deep, and then you can feel. You can feel the sadness in his words and what he's he said in his childhood, what he's been exposed to. But he still has that love where, you know, it's just dangling, and he still wants to know what it is and wants to feel it, you know. Most of us do. So it was beautiful.
And rocking chair.
Well done, Tom.
Your thoughts.
Yeah.
Oh, and I have to start with a pun. I could listen to Titus till the cows come home. You know, his use of language, you know, is just he uses words that aren't always used sometimes, and it's so effortless that you don't notice it until you think about it. And in the context of what he talks about, you could feel his reverence for the emotions that he's talking about, whether it's the sadness of looking for love and not finding it, or the sadness of losing that love, or of finding it just not being returned. It's lovely to listen to him because, you know, I want to say he could write a book, but I think he has several, so look him up. He's great, and I always appreciate listening to him.
Excellent. All right, guys, if we have no other comments, anybody else have any other questions? Anything else to add?
What is the meaning of life?
Any questions, anything else to add?
Yes, just real quick, I think that the next show on A Team of Voices is Saturday. I don't think there's anything on the board for Friday. I could be wrong, but I don't think that there is. And the show is Oxymorons, so that'll be fun. And we have a caller, my sweet.
Oh, it's Hatter.
Yeah, I'm muted.
Hey, Hatter, what's up?
Hey,
Hatter.
Hi, guys. Hey,
Boston. What's up, you old dirt farmer?
Anyway.
Yeah, I'm feeding my face right now. So I need to call in.
Is beef what's for dinner?
Pizza. Pizza.
Oh, pizza.
Yep.
Cheesy goodness.
So how's everybody? I call it the last 5 minutes of the show.
We're doing good. What's up with you?
Busy day. Trying
is
to do physical therapy
your...
is kicking my ass.
Well, I'm sure Sweet Pea's over the moon that you called.
Yeah, I am. Over the moon.
We are cows.
Yes, we
are cows.
Jokes.
She said she's a cow before.
But we just weren't sure how much time we'd have to go by before we could start with cow jokes. Being as nature as she was. She said,
no time.
Fire away. Fire away.
Anytime you want.
Cow jokes.
I told you that's what, day after surgery you could do it?
Yep, you good.
Cow jokes are funnier if you're on the grass.
Yeah. All right, you guys, you got 2 minutes. Hatter, you called too late. You should have called earlier.
I tried as soon as I could.
I know. I'm glad you called, though.
Nice talking to you, boss.
I'm glad.
Good seeing you here.
Nice talking to you a little for a second. I popped in. I'm not with the baby tonight, so I was free.
She brought milk and cookies.
Yeah, I did. An attitude.
Cow milk?
What's that?
Cow milk?